G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
Vision 180.
Live different.
Different.
So firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who is Nitro X? How did you get started and all that kind of stuff? Give us a bit of a background.
Okay. So long story. I have always made music, always made these when I was little. My dad had this little studio set up in our small town. We lived even smaller town than Vernon.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a little studio set up and I would just go in there and just make music. And they were really cringy, terrible worship songs. It was really funny. I didn't know how to play any instruments, so I would just bang on everything.
Love it.
And then yell. It was really funny.
Emo Christian worship. Love it.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly. but then my friend, his name's Tristan, we started just making music together, just for fun. And so we would always hang out. Our families are really close. So we would just hang out all the time and just make music for fun. And then we originally came up with a first name was Sonic Fantasy, but then it sounded like a level from a Sonic movie.
Yeah, definitely.
We're nah, we're not doing that.
I definitely think of Sonic when you say that.
Yeah. That's what a bunch of people say. And we're okay, well, no, that's not a good one. So we made this demo album. I used to use Logic. I don't know how much you or the audience would know about the programs, but used to use a really old version of Logic. And definitely that's how I got started doing it. And then I would just, I originally only took 2 years of piano lessons.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And then I ended up kind of teaching myself everything else. So it was a really funny thing Logic has is in the bottom, you can see what chords you're playing. It'll show you if it's a really complicated chord. It can be an add 9 chord or something. And it'll show you everything. So I would just do random triads and stuff. And then slowly end up memorizing different chords and how things work.
Wow.
So I kind of taught myself to chords because, with your basic piano lessons, you learn those cringy songs that you find at the music store.
Yes.
little booklets. And it doesn't really translate to, actually making your own music very well. So I kind of started to understand, chording and everything. And then we ended up making this terrible look sounding album. We never released it, me and my friend, just for fun. And then after a while, we still worked on a few things together, but I ended up, my dad, he does mixing and stuff, so he designed the whole audio system at our church.
No way.
And everything.
Very cool.
Yeah. So he taught me a lot about mixing and all the audio stuff. So he was always into it. So we always had a little studio set up and everything.
Nice.
So, it was really a blessing because it made everything really accessible to be able to work on stuff.
Yeah.
And then we ended up getting Reason, and my dad found it. I don't remember how. It was it's a really small program. Not a ton of users, but it's really powerful. And I started using it and I started getting into it more and more. Making songs, and that's where things really took off and started to sound a lot more professional. So my friend and I would still work sometimes, but as life got busier, we didn't end up having the same amount of time.
Yes, you know? Definitely. Life gets busy.
Yeah. So I ended up just working on stuff so much. I would finish songs and then it just felt like we weren't really doing it together. So I decided, I was you can still help on songs, but I'm just kind of going to go off here
to your own thing.
So he actually helped me come up with the name. We were just coming up with random names. And we thought Nitro X sounded cool. And like as a good like EDM name, and there was like no other ones like that were Nitro X, so it would be really helpful for branding to stand out.
Did it come from anything, or was it just something that you guys came up with out of nowhere?
Yeah, it was definitely something we just kind of came up with. But after looking into what exactly it is, it's actually like a diving liquid.
Oh.
It's very interesting. So it's like it's a special way that you can like use like oxygen or something. So I thought that was really interesting, and like that I've sort of like started just to connect that to, you know, like God being our breath, like God breathing into creation. You know, I just kind of those like connections that have like been like, okay, well, I could use this as like kind of my brand and stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's definitely been good. Yeah. So that was kind of the name journey. We just kind of came up with it for fun, and then I kind of stuck with it. So after working in Reason for a while, I started like starting to send songs to like labels and stuff. And I have, you know who Matthew Parker is, I assume.
Yes.
Yeah. So he, I'd always listened to his music for a long time. So I ended up sending him like this really old demo of like, my first song that's actually out called Crashing Down. It was a very old demo, and I sent it to him and he never replied. And I was sad.
Like, well, that's what always happens. good on you, though, for keep going, because most people then give up and go, yeah, he's not interested.
Oh, yeah. But then I kept sending it, like, every month.
Yes,
he probably got really annoyed of me. eventually, he launched a remix contest on his SoundCloud page for Cool. His song that he did with a guy named Landon Austin. And that's how things really started to take off. So after that, I got second place in that contest.
Woohoo! Congrats.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. For sure. It was so awesome for me. I was so excited. I was like, 'cause I never like gotten on anything before. I would try so hard to like get on like, you know, YouTube promotion channels like God's Nation and like Cross Nation and all that stuff. And I just never could like get on it. And then it was like, finally I won something. Maybe I can actually do this.
Yeah. Wow. Good on you.
Yeah. And, so after that, that's where things started to take off to where kind of I am now. Matthew like has really mentored me a lot. He actually used, and I found out, I didn't even know, he uses the same program as me.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. So really cool, because there's not a lot of Reason users out there, and I think as of now I'm like his only friend that uses Reason. So if I ever like, it's so nice, because if I'm ever in like an emergency with something, I'm like, help, I don't know how to do this, he'll be like, okay, well, you know, we can help each other.
Yes, that's so good.
That's really nice. Definitely. And then I, you know, I got in this group chat. There's like this group of artists. Jordan, the guy that I worked on Get This Right with, which I'm sure you know your audience has heard on the radio.
Yes.
Thank you for playing it, by the way. I really appreciate it.
We love it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I really wanted to kind of get that song out there, because I really like it for sure. But I met him, and then Xander, and a bunch of other guys that I get to work on with music. I think that was the biggest thing, because I never really sung. Like, I've never been able to really sing. It was really hard to find people to work with, like vocalists, as just a producer when you're starting out. And it really gave me like a way to network with other Christian artists and producers. So that was really nice to be able to have people to work with finally. But that's pretty much it.
So how would you find and like even choose a vocalist? Like, do you do auditions usually, or do you find someone you're like, they sound awesome, and then you approach them about going on your track, or how does that work?
Yeah, definitely. I will usually approach them. Usually it takes like quite a while to find someone who has time or actually will reply. So most of the time I'll like reach out into like, there's like these different circles of artists that kind of work with each other that I'll be able to find. And then I'll kind of message everyone in that circle, try and find someone. And then they're all like, hey, this guy messaged me too. You know, it kind of helps them like connect, I guess. I don't know. It's been like, interesting though, as I've gotten like, I guess, more followers, you know, people will reply more. And a lot of the time it can be really difficult because people are very busy on their own projects. Like a lot of, like on my latest track that I released, it was really difficult to find someone because everyone was so busy. It can take a while, but it's definitely worth it to search around because there's definitely people out there who are like really talented but smaller.
Yeah. Hey, don't you worry. Give it a few years' time and you'll have people begging begging to be on your tracks.
Yeah,
don't
yeah.
you worry.
Yeah, I hope so. That would be awesome.
Now, we mentioned before Get This Right with Jay Steph. We're playing that on Vision 180. Can you tell us a little bit about that one, like how it all came about?
Yeah, for sure. So I was working on just some projects. I had actually started that one on a little Instagram live I did for fun.
Oh, cool.
Started with the verse, made that whole thing. And then the bridge actually came about. I made like this. I'll do this sometimes. I'll make like these weird, like instrumental, like very acoustic, like loops, like very short, and then I'll export them. And then like in different songs, I'll use them again. So I'll like grab one and then throw it in a sampler and then resample it into, that new song. So I used, like an old chop loop and then I threw it in Get This Right and it made for a really cool bridge or like pre-chorus thing. Sorry.
Wow. Very cool.
Yeah.
I need to go back and listen to it now to hear all these tiny little things that you missed the first time.
Yeah, you can definitely hear like the different little things that are in it with like with that I did with all the editing from that old song, the old loop. Then I did like the drop. I kind of made the track instrumentally up to the drop and then started looking for people to work with on it. And then I messaged Jordan and he was like, yeah, totally, I'd hop on this. Sounds great. So we just ended up working on it together. He did like most of the writing. For the start of most of my songs, I hadn't been like a part of the writing much because I find like a lot of the artists would rather like get it done faster. They can get done faster when they go write on their own. But recently, definitely have gotten into like being a part of the writing process a lot more. And I think that's really good because I want to learn a lot about it because that's definitely not my strength. So starting to, you know, having all these artists who are like really good at writing, I can just join the session, you know, when they're working on the lyrics for the song, help out with melodies. Yeah, like just whatever I can take away, right?
Can you tell us about your track Glad You Stayed as well? Because we're playing that one as well and loving it. How did that one come together?
That one came together. I ended up working, like I said, I was working with Xander for a while. I asked him to maybe feature on another song that I was planning on releasing, which, you guys will hear sometime soon, hopefully. So he asked, like, he was like, cause he's getting really busy now, asked me, he's like, well, you know what, why don't we, because usually in the music business, it's like, you know, you pay for a feature and then, you know, you pay for a remix, for example. So he was like, you know what, let's just not pay each other and you just do a remix for this and then I'll work with you on, you know, another song. So, yeah, and then from there, I decided to put my all into the remix. I took inspiration from, like, all of my favorite styles and tracks from like pop, like future pop. And then I've been really getting into like the punk rock, like EDM stuff.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely getting a lot of inspiration from that. It's really fun to like have more guitar driven songs, with like EDM influence.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. I took a lot of that into the remix. And then from there, at the end, I want to have something like really different, like an entire switch up. So I threw in like this hard future bass section after like an orchestra. And I had done the entire thing from start like to end. A lot of producers, for some people, it's easier for them to do like, you know, the drop first, then go backwards and then go forward. So like drop, you know, chorus and then verse. But I usually like to just go straight to the end. I find it helps me like have a creative flow a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. So I ended up doing it that way. But because it was so different, like the entire thing was just like this huge like idea. I was like, oh no, like what if this doesn't work? I've like tried this all. I haven't listened to it through once. And then I played it from the start all the way to the end. And then I was so happy. I was like, yes, it sounds so good. And I was like jumping around at like 11 p.m. at night, just like, yes, it worked.
Having your own little dance party. Love it.
Yeah, yeah. And I was super happy with it. And definitely so excited that it released and got a bunch of attention and stuff. So, yeah.
Well, we are loving it. Congratulations. It's such a cool track.
Thank you.
You've done a few tracks with Xander Sallows. Do you guys collaborate a lot on your music?
Yeah, definitely when we can. We're both, you know, trying to grow a lot as much as we can. So things can get busier, and then, you know, budgets start to get tough too sometimes, especially when you're wanting to really make effective use of your time. So it can get hard to figure out like ways to make it make sense, but we really enjoy working together. I love working with him. We gel super well when we're making a track. And we have very similar like tastes in music and style too. So
that's helpful. Yeah.
Definitely a big reason I work with him a lot. Yeah.
So if there's someone who's wanting to get into remixing and doing, you know, working out Reason and just getting started, do you have some advice that you would give to them?
Yeah, sure. I would say just keep working on stuff before you release it. Like, work on your stuff for like a year, 2 years. Put it on SoundCloud. SoundCloud's super valuable because you can get feedback and comments and stuff. But like, don't put stuff on Spotify right away. You know, really work at your craft. And doing remix competitions is also really good. Because for me, it really gave me a jump start for it. Yeah, just like really focusing on developing your craft first and then releasing it like on Spotify and stuff, because personally I had to take down like my entire discography because it was like not great sounding.
Like, I don't want anyone to find this.
I was like, no. Xander was like, you should restart the discography. I'm like, yep, I agree. So I wiped it, and I almost wish I had just never, you know, like released the stuff right away and had worked on it even more. As I definitely think that's a big thing that can help people develop. Yeah.
What would you say is your favorite thing about remixing? Like, what got you into it that you just keep coming back?
Definitely. I really like, you know, hearing a track. I'm picky when it comes to remixing. Like, I have to be like, okay, I know that I can make this in a certain direction. I really like taking a song and that has like a certain vibe, and then like stripping that all away and then steering it in a completely new like melodic and dynamic direction with like new chords and everything. I find it really creative because I can take this song, you know, and I can take what's there and then make it into something entirely new, right? Like in a whole new vision for it. That's definitely my favorite part for sure.
I've never done remixing, but I love how you can completely change a song. It's I find it so interesting. I'd love to get into it. It's really cool. How about your new one, Won't Wait For You? How did that all come together? That's sounding awesome.
Yeah. So for that one, it's a new pop track. I decided I wanted to make a couple mainly Christian songs this year, and then a couple like mainly mainstream pop songs, you know, split them up into two, but also like connect the projects in a way. So it's like a breakup song that I made with Logan, And then we wanted to connect the projects. I have this idea for maybe a two-part EP where it goes through like a relationship. And then afterwards, kind of talking about, you know, moving on from like difficult things in life, and that God is always there and he's more important than a relationship or things in the world. So that's kind of how the idea has flown. But yeah.
I love that. So what's next? What's next for Nitro X? Are you working on any new music or what's your plans?
Yeah, definitely am working on a bunch of new music. Hopefully this summer, maybe next spring, it'll be by the time it's done. I was hoping to do, like I was saying, the two EPs. So there'll be possibly 2 4-track EPs, like a worship one and then a relationship one, and then kind of tying them together. Is kind of the goal for the future. So,
well, you'll definitely have to send some songs through and we'll give it a spin on Vision 180.
For sure. I will do so. Definitely.
Thank you. Thanks, Owen. Thanks, Nitro X. Oh, it's been great to have you on the show. We really appreciate you taking some time to have a chat to us.
It's been awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.